विष्णु पदाय कृष्ण पृष्ठाय कुतले स्मृति भक्ति विज्ञान स्वामी की नामना नमस्ते भक्ति विज्ञान संयुक्तम राधा माधव से विनम हृदय कुमाचार्य ताम प्रदर्शक नमाम यहाँ नमो विष्णु पदाय कृष्ण पृष्ठाय कुतले श्रीमति भक्ति विधानंद स्वामी की नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवी गौरवाणी प्रचारी निर्विशेष शून्यवादी कश्यपतिशारिणी हरे कृष्ण I do not have any qualification whatsoever to glorify my Gurudev, but it's a humble attempt I would take to speak a few words about my Guru Maharaj. For those who are not know much about Guru Maharaj, I would like to tell a few words where God is. His lifetime. So he was born in the year of 1956 in Tashkent. Tashkent is ex-USSR, it's the capital of
Uzbekistan.
Yes, it's the capital of Uzbekistan. And Mara was born in a family of scientists. His mother, his grandfather, are all famous scientists in Russia. And Maharaj also was encouraged to grow up, to take up the science field. And he excelled in studies from his childhood. And he did his graduation in the chemistry field in Moscow State University. And further, he did his PhD in doctorates in molecular biology. And during that time, when Maharaj was doing this, in USSR, at the time, both being religious and being a vegetarian was conducted a crime, serious crime in Russia. And Srila Prabhupada was in Moscow for just 3 days. Just for 3 days. In these 3 days, he met two devotees. Two, one Russian and one Indian. Somehow, Shyamasundara Prabhu went and picked them up and came to see Prabhupada, and Prabhupada asked them to meet somebody and bring them. So in these 2 days of meeting, speaking with that Russian Prabhuji, that Prabhuji became a devotee and he started this mission of spreading Krishna consciousness. And it's supposed to be that Guru Maharaja's roommate was a devotee. At the time he was going to enjoy Krishna consciousness, and Maharaj was able to, took this message very seriously. And as you all know, at the time, communist time, it was a very severe crime, especially anything preaching against Krishna consciousness. And the most notorious, famous KGB, you would have known, they were after everyone whoever was practicing God consciousness, forget Krishna consciousness. And they did not leave in Guru Maharaj. Many people were arrested, put in jail, and they were they died in the jails. You would have read about the salted bread. And one fine day, Maharaj got a visitor. Maharaj's professor came and told, he was shivering when he came and told Maharaj. He said, "What have you been into? See who has come." And Maharaj went there. There were two KGB officers waiting for Maharaj. And you know, they were very intelligent people, these KGBs. They don't even threat immediately. So they had so many ways to make Maharaj come out of it. So they actually started to threat him from saying that you are going to lose everything. All your career, you are a very great future as a scientist, you are going to become, you are a good career, and everything you are going to lose just because of this, come out of it. And then, actually they were threatening, and at the time, you know, now it's very easy to see, okay, what was the problem, but at the time in Russia, KGB, the name KGB people shivered. And coming to this position, Maharaj, thinking that I will lose, made a little of thought, but so much conviction Maharaj had in the holy name that he thought, why should I give up this process which has given me so much assurity that I can take this process? Why should I fear for these people? And Maharaj, they came a couple of times, one after another, they threatened him by so many ways, but Maharaj did not give up. He took the Krishna consciousness seriously, and at that time they were practicing underground, and so did Maharaj continue to practice it. And at a point came that Maharaj could not stay longer because they were about to arrest him. At the time Maharaj left to Sweden, and he was there. He's a citizen of Sweden also, Maharaj. And He was living there, and one of his main tasks was translating Prabhupada's books into Russian. And today, if you see, 95% of books which was translated into Russian was translated by Guru Maharaj. And now he does proofreading, and with all his so much of work he has, obligations, he never forgets to translate books and help the BBT of Moscow. And then in the year of 1995, Maharaj came back to Moscow and took the charge of ISKCON Russia. And now he's the GBC of Moscow, he's also the GBC of Korea, Israel, and Georgia, and many other countries. And furthermore, this is a short brief of Maharaj. And there are a lot of things, I mean, we can go on speaking about Maharaja's mercy and kind. Today, if you want to understand what this devotional service is, I really will tell you to go to Russia. Be in Russia for a couple of days. You will understand what is devotional service actually is. Because the seed of devotional service I got from Russia, from the Russian devotees, was so sincere. And those sincerity actually been given by, the seed was given by our Guru Maharaj. For all the devotees in the Brahmacharya Ashram, it's been so strictly, it's a wonderful ashram coming up there. And Maharaj, with all the responsibilities, if you come to Moscow, you know, sometimes I wonder how it's possible for a human being to take so much responsibilities. He is, he takes all the responsibilities. Still, if you go and see him, Maharaj is famous for his smile. You can, you know, with his smile, he can just sway away all our miseries and distress. And, you know, one senior devotee was saying, and how much more than this before coming, telling that how much Maharaj loves every devotee in Russia. Every devotee, every disciple, every person, Maharaj loves him so much. Once a senior devotee told that Maharaj was supposed to leave somewhere abroad, and they were all standing there to send him by to him. And he went, the car went a few meters and it stopped. And they said, why the car stopped? The Maharaj got down and he looked at them and said, I just want to tell you, I love you all very much. And you know, they were all in tears. And so, you know, Guru's mercy is unlimited. And in my life, if I see, I only remember one verse that always I remember, and it is true, that is Mukam Karoti Vachalam Tantum Langite Giri Tetrupada Mahamande Shri Gurum Dina Tarina. That is 100% sure in my life, though materially and spiritually, it's only because of my Guru Maharaj's mercy that I am able to survive. Otherwise there is no possibility. Although I am unable, although Maharaj's mercy and love is flowing, but sometimes very difficult to, you know, catch all the mercy and keep it in my heart. But when I see Maharaj, I know I have so much questions, so much things to ask Maharaj. But when I see him, there's no question in my mind to ask him. I just think, what about those questions I was thinking to ask Maharaj? It just goes away from my mind. And I'm very fortunate that Maharaj accepted such a fallen soul like me as his disciple. It was his very mercy that he gave me initiation. I know I was not qualified, but Maharaj picked me up and placed me here, and I'm sure I will be dedicated to your service, Guru Maharaj, and will serve as much as possible in every way. And I will also, before finishing, would like to thank very from the couples of my heart, the management of Narasimha Temple, and His Grace Sarada Krishna Prabhu, His Grace Narahari Chaitanya Prabhu, and all the devotees to arrange this wonderful Vyasa Puja for Guru Maharaj. Although we have not taken any effort in organizing, we are, on my part, I don't know how much we have done it. You have all done this for our Guru Maharaj. We are very thankful, and I am obliged life after life for you all for gracing my Guru Maharaj. And I also thank my dear god brother, His Grace Abhikirti Prabhu, for making this attempt successful, and because of his part, this has become practical. Thank you very much for all of you. Thank you.
His Holiness Bhakti Vignan Goswami Maharaj Ki. So we would next request. I wonder if Mataji will come here or we can take the mic there. Madhumati Pushkarni Mataji. We request you to please come and say a few words.
Moscow, when there used to be class puja for Maharaj, there was no way that we got a chance because there were so many senior devotees glorifying him line after line. So we never got an opportunity. So this one we should not decline. When I went to Moscow first, I was so arrogant, thinking what these Westerners know about Krishna and Krishna consciousness. And Guru Maharaj's humility was like a slap to my arrogance. It was really like, he was so humble. We used to have these Saturday programs for Indians. Every Saturday we used to gather and we would have the typical Sunday feast, but we were a very small gathering. And we would invite people from the Russian congregation, some Russian brahmacharis, or if good fortune, then some of the sannyasis would come and give us classes. And one such day it happened to be Guru Maharaj. I didn't know much about him. And what he spoke, it was so amazing. I thought, where is all this coming from in Moscow? It was such an eye-opening lecture. I felt so humiliated. I felt ashamed of myself. We are supposed to come from India. We're supposed to come from very good, you know, traditional Paul families. But what have we understood? Forget practicing. We don't practice anything. We haven't understood anything. We don't even make an attempt to understand the best fact. We just take it so much for granted that we don't even make an attempt to understand. And look at what Prabhupada has done here. Look at what Srila Prabhupada has done. Look at how these people are preaching pure Krishna consciousness. It's so pure and they are so humble. And Guru Maharaj kept telling in his lecture, it was so embarrassing at that point when I was thinking I knew everything. In his lecture he kept saying, we don't know anything, we don't know anything, I don't know anything. And each time he said that, I felt a slap on my face. And as soon as he finished that class, I couldn't resist myself. I just went to him and I said, please accept me as your disciple. I didn't consider anything. I didn't consider that I was a woman, I was married, I was supposed to go with my Prabhu. Nothing. I just couldn't resist. I just went, fell flat at his feet and said, please, I beg of you. And of course, he asked me, why me? There's so many other gurus, there's so many other sannyasis. But this is, I think, this is how Chaitya Guru shows Guru Maharaj. All good fortune, I really got all good fortune after I met Guru Maharaj. And after that, of course, it was just a learning experience, one after the other. So many things I got to learn from him. How your faith, you know, in this class, the whole class, he was talking about surrendering. And I was asking all silly questions to him, but he just replied to everything, saying that as though it was a very important question. Then, you know, but I asked him, how do you surrender? I asked him flat like this, how does one surrender? And the way he explained was so very, very amazing about surrendering. So Guru Maharaj, I really beg of you, even now I have not understood how to surrender, but one thing I have understood is if I follow your instructions, one day I will be able to understand how to surrender. Thank you very much.
Jai, His Holiness Bhakti Vignan Goswami Maharaj Ki
Jai.
I would now request Ravi Kirti Prabhu.
Very difficult to because since already Nirmala Krishna Madhumati Pushkarni Patruji has already spoken.
Because the speaker is checkwise.
They have already glorified Maharaj and I don't know what to speak. I did not know anything about Guru Maharaj even for a very long time. First time I met Guru Maharaj in this Begovaya temple, it was very evening and very cold evening, and I was a total atheist. I did not believe in any god, what to talk about Krishna, those days. And I just went to the temple and I spoke to him after his lecture. I don't even remember what he spoke in the lecture also. I just remember that I just asked him that, why do you believe that God exists? And he just told me that, you see in front of me so many devotees are chanting for past 20 years. Do you think they are fools and they are chanting for no reason? Somehow I got, I used to think, what is this? And then I used to attend classes which were always held by Nirmal Krishna Prabhu in their house. And he used to serve nice prasadam. And yeah, time used to go, they used to give me a lot of Prabhupada books I used to read, and still I did not understand. And tragically, my father died after that. It was in 2002. And it was a very difficult period which I was going through. I was like a university topper in those days, for a very long time. For the entire 7 years of my career I was university topper. But still, whatever I did was of no use. I used to feel this. And something used to lack in me always. Then I used to come and read and ask many questions. Why it is happening to me only, and so many questions. Means, why I am suffering so much? And though I have everything, still I am suffering. I did not used to understand what is the reason behind. And it is so interesting because so many years I was in India also, and this answer was never given to me. I got this answer when I met Guru Maharaj, and he helped me to come out of very severe depression which I entered into after this. I thought that I have almost lost my life. I did not had anything after this. And today whatever I am, only because of my Guru Maharaj. Even I am living because of my Guru Maharaj. I can become emotional at this stage, but it is really only because of him I am standing. Whatever I have done in my life till date, after the death of my father particularly, is only because of the inspiration what he has given to me. And I have been chanting. I still don't know where this chanting will lead to me also. I just chant because he told me to chant. And I'm continuing this process, and I think one day I will try to understand what is Krishna consciousness. Thank you very much, Guru Maharaj. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
I request Narasimha Swami Prabhu, please speak a few words of Lord.
ओम श्री महाराज कृष्ण प्रेष्टा मंडली सुरते भक्ति विदांत स्वामी नामिनी नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवाद पाश्चात्य देश तारिणे वेरी नाइस यू हैव आस्क्ड मी टू स्पीक अ फ्यू वर्ड्स आफ्टर दे हैव स्पोकन सो नाउ महाराज हैव बीन इंट्रोड्यूस्ड वेरी वेल सो It's really a very good fortune for ISKCON Sri Jagannath Mandir and Sri Lakshmi Narasimha Temple here to host this Vyasa Puja of Maharaj. It is really a big and good fortune for all of us here to have the darshan and participate in this Vyasa Puja. Because once my Guru Maharaj, His Holiness Jayapadaka Swami Maharaj, asked me, how can we serve you? And also we asked him, how can we serve your God brothers? So I asked this question a couple of times, and every time he used to answer the same, that if you treat my God brothers the same way as you treat me, I'll be the happiest person. So with this in view, we always are very conscious of how to treat the Guru Maharaj of our God brothers of our Guru Maharaj. So it's really a wonderful opportunity for all of us to be present here and participate in this Vyasa Puja. I do not know Maharaj personally, but what I have heard from others, and also about the general activities which are going on in Russia, it is really wonderful for us to meet a person who is now leading the movement in Russia, and especially in that part of the world. I don't know how to express the way in which we should observe the Vyasa Puja of Maharaj here. Maybe we have not done the exact thing that we have to do, so Maharaj can instruct us in any way in which we can improve our celebrating the Vyasa Puja of our godfathers, of our own gurus, and that would be a very nice instruction for us, because on this Vyasa Puja day, all of us do not know very much about how we should treat and how we should offer our obeisances to disciples of Srila Prabhupada. We consider every disciple of Srila Prabhupada who comes to Bangalore a wonderful opportunity for us, and fortunately we have been getting the disciples of Srila Prabhupada almost, I think once in the month, I think almost on average, we are getting the fortune. And I request Maharaj to instruct us in what way we should treat the disciples of Srila Prabhupada, so that that will be a nice instruction for us. Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Request of Vardha Krishna Prabhu, please come and speak.
नमो ज्ञानोतिमिरन्दस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशिवके चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः मुखं करोति वाचालं कमलं गायते गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वन्दे श्रीगुरुं नितरम् इस्कान् गुरु वेन्दकी दिस् इस् दि नरसिंह क्षेत्र हियर् दिस् पार्ट् आफ़् द टौन् इस् कन्सर्न् दिस् इस् वेर् वि लोर्ड् नरसिंह वि लर्न् फ्रोम् द श्रीमद्भागवतम् देट् देर् वर् मेनि पर्पसस् फोर् विच् लोर्ड् नरसिंह डिसेण्डेड्. And the primary purpose was not really to vanquish Hiranyakashipu. The primary purpose was to see that Bhakta Prahlad is glorified. And he wants to establish the principle that in order to protect his disciples, oh sorry, his devotees, the Lord will go to any extent, the Lord will go to any length. We also know from the Srimad Bhagavatam that after he tore apart Hiranyakashipu, he was still in such a, he was so enraged, completely enraged, that we had a very delicate situation that even Brahma and Mata Lakshmi also were afraid, scared to go in front of Hiranyakashipu. We know from Bhagavatam, from the teachings, from the glorious teachings of Srila Prabhupada, that it was at that time that they pushed young Prahlad. And seeing Prahlad, Hiranyakashipu became very pacified, very happy, very pleased. Because the whole purpose of his incarnation was to glorify Prahlad. So he became very peaceful, very pacified, and very relaxed. And very benevolent, very happy, very happy and generously extending his benedictions to Prahlad. So we also know how Prahlad, what type of benediction Srila Prahlad sought from Narasimha Dev. So I believe that this is very appropriate that we are celebrating this auspicious Vyasa Puja ceremony for His Holiness Bhakti Vidyan Goswami Maharaj in this temple, because not only from hearing from Nirmal Prabhu and Ravi Kirti Prabhu and from me, of my friends and colleagues who have visited Russia many times, I have come to know of the persecutions that Maharaj has personally faced and endured, the persecutions that thousands of his followers have faced from the KGB, from the Russian government, and so on. And also the kind of challenges they faced, from the kind of persecution they faced from the Orthodox Church, from the media, from various other very, very powerful agencies in the former USSR. Their power was inconceivable, the kind of power they had over the people, over individuals. But Maharaj and his very valiant team of soldiers, obviously led by Maharaj, faced up to all these kind of persecutions. And then later on, ISKCON went through so much turbulence, a little later than Maharaj, who steadied the ship, steadied the whole yatra there, and brought solidity to ISKCON, restored confidence that was so completely shaken among the grassroots level devotees, restored their confidence in ISKCON, in the ISKCON philosophy, in the ISKCON Guru Tattva, in ISKCON, ultimately in Srila Prabhupada, restored the confidence. And so quickly turned around the preaching in the whole of the USSR that I think today it's probably the fastest growing ISKCON preaching field in the world. I think we can say in many ways maybe even India is lagging behind, but it's become the fastest. And I have personal recollection by so many of my dear friends and colleagues who go there regularly, Shitalanga Prabhu and so many others who go there regularly, Venugopal Prabhu, his wife, Prema Padmini Mataji, they keep telling me fascinating stories, very inspiring stories about how preaching is exploding in different parts of Russia in various different ways, and how they're saying now we're seeing educated, intelligent, intellectual minded people coming into the doors of ISKCON. And I'm also personally aware, I've seen the kind of dedication that Maharaj has towards building this wonderful landmark temple in Moscow to commemorate the visit of Srila Prabhupada to Moscow, how he is struggling. So I believe that this Vyasa Puja is happening here under the benevolent, merciful gaze of Narsingadev, because Lord Narsingadev wants to clearly indicate as to how much he loves what Maharaj is doing in Russia. We also learn from the teachings of Srila Prabhupada that Prabhupada says so many times in letters that he writes to his disciples, he says, yes, it's very good if you look at me like your father. I'm actually your father. I'm trying to play that role. No matter how busy I get in management or organizing or traveling, I'm always your father. And Prabhupada used to repeatedly say that I left behind four children in India, but now Krishna has given me millions of children all over the world. So we could see the same sentiment being confirmed by the way his disciples, wonderful disciples, spoke, how they looked at him as their father. And what bigger proof that we need about the sincerity, dedication of Maharaj than when we hear these mind-boggling reports about preaching in Russia, in the far corners of Russia, far corners of USSR, how preaching is breaking barriers and bringing inconceivable types of people under the shelter of Srila Prabhupada. So I am very proud that somehow by the arrangement of Narsingadev, this Vyasa Puja ceremony is happening right here in the Narsinga temple. So I'm very grateful that Narsingadev has given us this opportunity to show, to teaching us how much he loves the devotees who face up to persecution with a dedication, with sincerity, with determination and with firm faith in Srila Prabhupada and the teachings of Srila Prabhupada. His whole life, Maharaj's whole life so far has been a story of dedication, sincere, enthusiastic endeavor. I pray to Narsingadev, I pray to Srila Prabhupada that this should continue, and by the mercy of Narsingadev, Maharaj and his entire team working in whichever part of the world they are, may they be very, very successful in taking the teachings of Srila Prabhupada into every home in Russia. This is our humble prayer to Narsingadev. We pray that Lord Narsingadev should bless, empower Maharaj and this wonderful team. I also want to add one little personal note that I'm sure will please Maharaj's heart. One of his previous visits is that when he came to ISKCON Jagannath Mandir, we had this little office and then that corner room, which is now the BBT Godown. So we made Maharaj sit down on the floor, and then there were two young devotees who came from the Hare Krishna hymns. And put them in front of Maharaj and two or three, put them in Maharaj, and Maharaj was talking to them, and they were having all questions about Guru Tattva, Ritvik, and variety of questions. And Maharaj so patiently dealt with all of them, and I want to submit to the lotus feet of Maharaj that he'll probably be very happy to know that two of those devotees that he spent time with are our strong congregation members today. So Maharaj, I understand you have come here to inaugurate a hospital to cure people of their material diseases, etc. But I'm very sure that you are so blessed and your team is so wonderful and transcendently potent that you'll also start curing the original disease, Bhava Roga, that all the living entities suffer. And I'm also hopeful that your involvement with this hospital project will probably make you come here more often. And you will help us by your merciful glance and by your very, very saintly smile. You will help us bring more and more people to the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada. Maharaj, thank you very much for coming here. Thank you very much for accepting our humble attempt to glorify you. Maharaj, thank you very much. We hope you will come here more often. And once again, I request all of you to kindly pray to Lord Narsingadev to bless Maharaj and his glorious team, that they will be ready and they will be capable of facing any challenge and emerge victorious. Bhakti Vijnan Goswami Maharaj ki, Iskon Guru Vrinda ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.
Request Narari Chaitanya Prabhu is going to share some event.
Bhakti Vidyan Goswami Maharaj ki. I was listening to Nirmal Prabhu's offering, and when he was explaining about the difficulties in Russia, suddenly I remember, I don't know the year, Maharaj, about 300 devotees from Russia, they came to India, and that was Gaur Purnima. So I happened to be a part of that yatra, and the whole Mayapur was talking about Russian devotees. Everybody is telling that 300 Russian devotees, and they had explained to us it was so difficult to practice Krishna consciousness there, and they had briefed us. These Russian devotees will be there. They should be given prominent, you know, first chance for all kinds of programs. So when we saw them in a whole group, the whole mood was completely different. When Prabhupada said it is a real United Nations, we could see that actually Russians had taken over Mayapur that time. So, I think after another 4 years, there was a Chinese group. But especially the Russian group, about 300 devotees who had come there, and the whole plane was full of devotees. And they had come for Mayapur Yatra as well as Vrindavan Yatra. So I had my dear godbrother, who is Sachidananda, who is no more here. So our trip was actually planned from Mayapur festival, then Vrindavan festival. I didn't know the Russian group was also going the same way. So we are supposed to travel by train, and he was supposed to fly, my dear godbrother. But something happened that he said, no, you go, I'm going to go by train. So I went to the airport and I saw lots of devotees. I asked them, they're all Russian devotees. It was early in the morning, Calcutta, and there was a delay of nearly 3 hours. And the whole plane was all full of devotees. So, and they announced that you cannot board the plane, all of us have to stay back in the airport. So you could see the whole Mangalarti program was done by the Russian devotees, and all the people who were there in the airport, they were all watching what's happening. And every time there was an extension of half an hour to 1 hour, it took 3 hours. So we had a 3 hour solid program in the airport. So I didn't know, you know, how the devotion aspect. People who don't know anything about Krishna, when they come into Krishna consciousness, I think they are the best devotees. Because most of the time we think we know about Krishna, but we take it very cool. But the devotees who don't have, and suddenly they get exposed. And I didn't know that Maharaj was behind all this. When I was sitting and realizing when he spoke, then I should share my this. Maharaj, such a wonderful commitment you have done to Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada says, whoever preaches in the communist countries, they are just exalted devotees. And Maharaj, we are, I don't know what to say. Srila Prabhupada is, I mean, having such wonderful disciples. I was speaking to Ravi Kirti. He says, Maharaj is coming. No, Vyasa Puja. I was telling you, don't worry. Shiksha Guru, Diksha Guru is all the same. Just like Narasimha Swami was speaking about how our dear Guru Maharaj is so happy. I said, you don't have to worry. You please see that Maharaj accepts, then we have no problem. And we are very grateful to Ravi Kirti Prabhu to bring Maharaj here. And last time also, we were waiting, and I and Gautam Prabhu was waiting with Goy Prasad Ji. And he was also supposed to meet Maharaj. And he came via the temple. Then Prabhu said, Maharaj chanted 16 rounds sitting there. So any glorification, any expansion is happening because of Maharaj's lotus feet here. So this is actually consolidating ISKCON here is because of such great Vaishnavas coming. Thank you, Maharaj. Maharaj, please, more often, please come here. We always seek your blessings. And you would please save us. More devotees can be saved. Thank you very much, Maharaj.
So, Narahari Dev Prabhu, we request him.
Not long ago, maybe 2 or 3 months ago, I went to Delhi and I happened to see this book, Salted Bread, lying on the counter, which I always heard about it, but I never had a chance. So I took the book and on my way back on the flight, I started reading it. And then the next day, I just gave some excuse and I didn't go to the office and I started reading it. And by the time, it was like around 8 p.m. and I'd finished half the book. And I was telling myself, okay, I'll read, it's getting late. To go to bed at least by 9:30, 10. So I have other things to do. So I'll just read one more chapter and I'll go to bed. And after I read one more chapter, just hearing about the pastimes of what the devotees were doing, I said, I'll read one more chapter. And I didn't realize that by the time I finished the book, it was 4:30 in the morning next day. And then, that was it. So, if you read this book, Nirmal Prabhu was saying, what struggles devotees had gone through in the old days, specifically in the old USSR, and even still now, like practicing Krishna consciousness in sub-zero temperatures, like minus 40 degrees centigrade, wherein you can't put your hands. You won't even feel, your fingers won't even feel the beats. When you're chanting, your fingers will not even feel the beats. They are so numb because it's so cold. And chanting 16 rounds in that sub-zero temperature. In this book, in Salted Bread, I saw like the devotees who were arrested by the KGB, they were tortured to such an extent that some devotees, they even lost, their own presence of mind, and it was so difficult to for them. Like, sometimes we feel that chanting 16 rounds is an austerity. We should go to Russia and we should see chanting Hare Krishna there in that condition with so much of opposition. Just it is just not as easy as we see here. I remember once in I was in New Vrindavan in 2005 or 6 when Maharaj had come and he was giving a presentation on the new Russian temple in Moscow that would come up. And I had heard later on that that the devotees faced so many challenges. Whatever land was allocated to them in Moscow, that was taken away by the government. And then the devotees did not stop. They kept on, fighting for Srila Prabhupada. And then they were allocated some of the land. And again, they ran into problems with other groups. But the devotees, they never stopped. They just kept on persisting that they wanted to glorify Sri Sri Radha Krishna all over Russia. And now the latest news was that there's going to be a very beautiful Vedic style temple planetarium to glorify Radha Krishna in a very prominent place. A few years ago, I think 2006, I had been to Mayapur, like Narayana Chaitanya Prabhu was mentioning. And these devotees are so exalted, and we can see, like, you say that you can tell a fruit by its tree. These devotees who are coming from Russia, when I went to do the parikrama, Navadvipa Mandal parikrama, I was not able to go barefoot. So I was doing the parikrama with my slippers and shoes on. And these devotees were here, these devotees are coming from a foreign culture. And they were doing Navadvipa parikrama barefoot and in scorching heat and so difficult conditions that just looking at them, it was so inspiring. And then I could see where all this was coming from. So I just pray and request all the devotees here to please pray that this new temple in Moscow comes up in the best possible manner, and and Maharaj's projects become very successful, and they distribute as many books of Srila Prabhupada as possible and touch the lives of all the people in there. Because I heard from a devotee that one day Lord Jagannath, he'd be pleased so much by the devotion of the Russian devotees that he'd leave Puri and he'd go to Russia. So, I'm sure this, looking at all the activities that are going on, I'm sure this day is not too far. So, thank you, Maharaj, very much for coming here and giving us this opportunity to glorify you in whatever little way we could. And we just pray that you please keep coming back here again and again and inspiring all the devotees. Hare Krishna.
Holiness Bhakti Vignan Goswami Maharaj Ki Jai. We have a few more devotees who are very inspired, who would also like to give offering. So request Anand Gauranga Prabhu.
Bhakti Vignan Goswami Maharaj Ki Jai. And I was very fortunate to have little association of Maharaj in Udupi. Most of you know Udupi is a very scholarly place and is a base for Madhvites as such. Of course, they very superficially appreciate our activities. But I was very surprised after meeting Maharaj was visiting there for his healthcare, and so he had met a couple of scholars there in Udupi. And their impression of ISKCON had totally changed after meeting Maharaj. That was really shocking to me. And only from them I came to know about Maharaj adopting. That's when I met Maharaj, and it was very wonderful. It's something like Prabhupada said, if somebody comes to the temple, they should carry the impression of the atmosphere, the deities and things like that. And Maharaj's presence as a devotee, as a pure devotee, is such an impression that people cannot forget him, that his love, his care is so touching that any layman or even a scholarly and a puffed up person or anybody would completely surrender to his outlook, his devotion and things like that. It's really very inspiring. And what to speak of him, even his disciples are so great that their behaviors, their attitude changes the people's attitude towards ISKCON devotees. Sometime back I was in Tirupati. Generally we walk up the hill by foot. No, that's a big austerity. But there was two disciples of Maharaj who climbed the whole steps by their knees. You know, even the TTD employees were talking about this. You know, their dedication towards Krishna, their devotion towards Krishna, it's something very impressive. And of course, on this auspicious day, I beg Maharaj to shower his blessings more and more on us, so that we can certainly be inspired to continue in devotional service. Hare Krishna.
I have not had personal association with Maharaj much. But I definitely recollect once when I was there in Balram Desh. I don't exactly remember the year when Maharaj came. Maharaj gave a very, very inspirational lecture, and he quoted an example from Nectar of Devotion, whereby a poor Brahmana is meditating and then finally his fingers get burnt. I've heard this pastime several times, but then the way Maharaj narrated this particular pastime, it brought me all to tears, and I mean, I couldn't control. So emotional I was when I heard this particular lecture from Maharaj. Second time I realized was that when I was there for the Navamandal Parikrama this year. We were all there for the Parikrama, and then we were informed that the Russian group has been made separate because the strength is much more than what the Indian group was. So that's how we could realize how powerful was the preaching of Maharaj. I mean, Maharaj, we are all very, very fallen souls. Srila Prabhupada, by his mercy, we have got the opportunity to chant the holy name of the Lord. By his mercy, we have also got literatures like Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam. But without the association of pure devotees like him, it wouldn't have been possible for us to relish this nectar of all these things that Prabhupada has given us. In this context, I would like to give a small reference to a sloka which I just picked up today. Please give me one more minute. This is from the 11th canto, where Maharaja Nivin meets the 9 yogendras. It says, Ata atyantikam kshemam vachyamo bhavato nagha samsarasmin shanartaopi satsanga seva dhirnanam. It says, O sinless ones, I ask you to kindly tell me what the supreme good is. After all, even a half moment association with pure devotees within this world of birth and death is a priceless treasure for any man. Maharaj, we are all fallen souls, and we try and cry to get this priceless treasure. I don't know whether we are qualified enough to get it in this birth or not. Prabhupada has built an umbrella where the whole world can live. But Prabhupada has left behind the pillars of that umbrella, and you are all those spiritual pillars. Even a high-storied building can collapse, the pillars can get weakened over a period of time. But you are all spiritual pillars of Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, and it can become only stronger and stronger. And that presence is felt when we see the Krishna consciousness movement spreading throughout the world. Maharaj, I may not be qualified enough to release this priceless treasure, but on this auspicious occasion, I sincerely pray to the Lordship that pillars like you become stronger and stronger, so that fallen souls like us can always take shelter under you. Thank you very much.
Holiness Bhakti Vignan Gosai Maharaj Ki Jai! We would request Sabhakti Krishna Prabhu, please come and speak a few words.
This is Bhakti Vignan Maharaj Ki Jai! It's so fortunate that we have association with this Holiness Bhakti Vignan Maharaj. And I'm so fortunate that I'm associated with him for quite a few years now. It's by the mercy of my Guru Maharaj that I came to know about Maharaj. And my Guru Maharaj personally told me that I should help Maharaj in building the temple in Moscow. So since then I'm associated with Maharaj and I'm very blessed with that by his I'm very much moved by Maharaj's his mood and his dedication to Srila Prabhupada and his movement that we can see by the results which everybody can see and everybody is glorifying. The whole Russian Yatra is growing just because of Maharaj, he's the backbone there. It's like an amazing thing, and Srila Prabhupada has really blessed Maharaj so that he's bringing up such a huge yatra there. And now he's having a huge, humongous task of building a temple there, which is so difficult. Here we can have temples in each and every street, but if we know what Moscow is, what Russia was and is, and it's a very difficult task. And some of Prabhupada Krishna has blessed Maharaj and by his mercy and by his dedication, definitely the temple is going to come up there. And it's going to be like an icon for the whole world of Krishna consciousness. And I wish to also seek blessings from Maharaj and also seek blessings from everybody, because Maharaj is very sincere and very humble. We don't find, like at least I have not, I'm very much moved by Maharaj's sincerity and humility. And I really need to take his blessings so that we can also be a sincere soul in the service of Srila Prabhupada. And we all have to, it's very glorious that Maharaj is here on his Vyasa Puja day. So let us ask his blessings and try to become a nice, humble, sincere. What is more really sincerity? That's what we can see in Maharaj. So we need to take his blessings and to become a more sincere and humble soul like Maharaj and help us to go back to Krishna at this point. Jai His Holiness Bhaktivedanta Maharaj Ki.
Jai! We would now request Maharaj to please address us. Mic and
Namo Vishnupadaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhupaya Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Name. Namaste Sarasvadi Guravani Pracharani Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatadeshukari Pancha Kautatara Vishcha Vipashindu Devacha Patitana Pavana Deo Vaishnava Vyana Namo Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nitananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasudhi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Ajana Vandita Pujohana Pavadata Sankirtana Ekapitaro Kamala Daksha Vishwambaro Vijavaro Yugadharma Pava Vande Jagat Priyakaro Karuna Vataro Yantah Pradishya Mama Vacha Mama Prasuttam Sanjeevaya Tekiva Shakti Daraksvadamna Anyam Shahasta Charana Shravana Pragadam Anam Namo Bhagavate Purushayatu. Very happy to be with all of you on this day. It's somewhat unusual for me. I didn't expect this. Actually, I had an audacity to be born on Nandotsava the same day as Srila Prabhupada was born, so it's a very difficult situation for me. But, you know, when Ravi Kirti asked me to come for this celebration, I agreed because I thought it's a good chance to express my gratitude to Srila Prabhupada. Ultimately, whatever people speak, I don't take it so seriously or personally. In my sincerest conviction, whatever you know, achievements is there, it's all Prabhupada's mercy. And this is not an exaggeration or some kind of false humility because we're supposed to speak like this. It's true. You know, it's very difficult to run spiritual organization. Sometimes, once Srila Prabhupada was asked, you know, what do you think about running Krishna consciousness movement? He said, spiritual organization in the material world, difficult proposal. It's a difficult idea. Because material world is definitely going against any spiritual values. If we look at the people now, we can see that temporary materialistic values are taking over everywhere. India is not an exception. India is becoming more and more engrossed in this materialistic Western way of life. It's only Prabhupada's mercy that we are capable of doing something. Or even thinking about doing something like this. You know, once I was in Sadhu Sammelan in Rishikesh. It was in the year 2000, and before the millennium. The millennium was supposed to be celebrated in New York, in United Nations. So the Indian delegation was there, somehow or other I was there also. So there was one sadhu there, he was running a Sanskrit school in Rajasthan, I believe. And he approached me in one of the breaks between the sessions of the Sammelan. And he said to me, you know what, I have to tell you something about your Guru Maharaj. He said, I'm an acharya. I am a traditional person. I run a school and there are more than 400 students in my school. I couldn't make my own sons to wear dhoti. They just refused to do it. And Prabhupada made Americans to wear dhoti. He said, how much more powerful he is. That was his logic. And that's a fact. You know, Prabhupada brought this very unusual culture, very foreign culture, to all corners of the world. In Africa, people are chanting Hare Krishna and dancing and chanting and wearing dhotis. In America, in Japan, and even in Russia. In Russia, it's the effect of his preaching is so amazing that wherever you go, you know, practically in every corner of the country, there are some devotees. It amazes me, you know. People say that this is because of your preaching. You know, I'm sitting there in Moscow. Every now and then I'm going, you know, to one city or another city. Devotees are there in every corner of the country. And that's Prabhupada. It has nothing to do with my humble efforts. You know, I only pray not to be an obstacle in Prabhupada's movement in Russia. That's my only sincerest prayer. Because Prabhupada's conviction and Prabhupada's sincerity and Prabhupada's austerity, tapasya, which he invested into his books, are still there. It's all literally his mercy. You know, when the first devotees, you know, everyone was of course speaking about the first early years, and it was difficult, it was very difficult. But the most amazing thing about this, that devotees were so strong even at that time, that it always amazed me, and not only me. You know, I met with these KGB people, and I met them in 1983. I started chanting in 1980, and at that time when I met with early devotees, everyone was talking about KGB. Everyone, because everyone sooner or later had to meet with them, and it was difficult. It's practically the same as meeting with Yamaraj. Almost the same. Because it would mean the end of everything which you had. Death means, you know, everything is finished for you. So, you know, meeting with KGB was practically the same. And I knew that sooner or later they will come to me. But, you know, as usually, everyone expects that he will die, but, you know, everyone hopes that it will not happen. So the same thing happened with me. When they came, I was totally unexpected. But what really shocked me is that how seriously these KGB people take Krishna consciousness movement. Because I knew devotees were totally, you know, it was a very small group. When we came to India for the first time in 1989, it was 60 devotees, and basically, you know, probably there were, you know, a couple of dozens more devotees at that time in the whole of Soviet Union. It was a very small group. Maximum 200 devotees in all over Russia. But, you know, in the KGB, which was the most powerful organization in the Soviet Union at that time, there was a special department created to fight with Krishna consciousness movement. And I think there was, I don't know, maybe not 200 people employed there, but at least 50 people were working for this special task. And that was actually one of my strongest impressions about Krishna consciousness. You know, I thought, and that initially I was not taking it so seriously because I had a lot of doubts. I was not convinced, I have to admit. And I had my kind of ways of thinking and doing things. And really, honestly speaking, the first early devotees didn't impress me so much. I mean, it was not so much knowledge and everything, but, you know, there was a lot of sincerity. But what I was impressed, what I was really impressed is how seriously this KGB taking this movement. And I thought, if KGB must know what they're doing. If they're taking it so seriously, I probably should also take it more seriously. That was my logic. And again, you know, what I want to say is that somehow or other, Prabhupada transformed people. Little contact with his teaching or with his words, with his devotees, with his everything, you know, really changed people's life and people's heart. And it continues to do the same. It continues changing people's heart all over the place. You know, we just, 2 days back, we celebrated Janmashtami. And for this Janmashtami, there was probably, I don't know how many people, 5,000 people, 6,000 people. It's very difficult to count. So many people are coming and going. There's a lot of crowds. And I invited one Indian person who is planning to help with the temple. I sincerely hope that he will help. He's an influential person. And he was for the first time in a temple, an existing temple. An existing temple is a really very humble construction, temporary construction, really humble. Nothing to be impressed about. But there are crowds of people, and people are swarming, and, you know, everywhere, you know, Harinam Sankirtan is going on, and people are so happy. So, at one point, this person, he started telling me, I'm so impressed, I'm overwhelmed, I'm so impressed, I'm so impressed. You know, I don't know what to say. He was just jumping out of the emotions which he experienced at that time. And again, what is there? What he experienced the power. And my strongest conviction is that this power is invested by Prabhupada in this moment. It's nobody else. It's Prabhupada's amazing shakti, spiritual shakti, which he invested in this movement, and this movement exists. Somebody mentioned here while speaking that so many young people, very intelligent people join. And that's a fact. This is a new phenomenon because in the 90s there was a lot of people joining, but these people were, let's say, they were kind of marginal people. People from, you know, lost people. People who couldn't find their place in the society. And it was a very difficult time in Russia. The beginning of 90s, some people who were smart, they were really active, and some people, they were lost. So many of these lost people joined. Now we have a completely different phenomenon. So many new, young, very established, well-established people are joining the movement. And I wanted to tell you one interesting story, which I think you will appreciate. I recently spoke with one of those people. He was a HR director in many companies. He's really, I mean, he really has amazing brain. Amazing brain. He knows the organizational structure and everything, and he said he was very highly paid in many companies and few companies. Very professional, very qualified. He gave everything up, came to us and trying to help us in the fundraising. And he is analyzing our problems. And he told me recently, and that was his confession. He said, you know, I know ISKCON from inside. And I can tell you very clearly that according to any material standards, this organization should fall apart long ago. Because there is no organization. It's really, from the material standards, it cannot exist. It cannot exist in this very, you know, hostile, competitive atmosphere which is there. You know, but I see that it grows. Instead of falling apart, it grows. And I'm trying to figure out how it is from the scientific point of view. He said, I'm baffled, you know. my understanding cannot really help me, you know, to understand why it is happening. But, you know, I know the secret. It's Prabhupada. It's his Shakti, which is working through so many devotees, which is working, in amazing ways. And of course, we are building this temple. And this is a big story. It's a long story. It's a very exciting story too. But again, you know, this whole story from the material point of view, it's totally, completely, it has no grounds. You know, we cannot build this temple. But we are building it and we will build it. You know, again, from material point of view, it's impossible. And Prabhupada used to tell that impossible is the word from the Fool's Dictionary. And, you know, throughout my life, I'm starting to understand what he means. Because if you believe in Krishna, and if you have this full dedication, and this full dedication gives you immense strength to resist to all the problems which are there. Now, it's not easy. I'm learning some astrology. I know some astrology. And, you know, if you know a little Muhurta, I was actually taking some astrology lessons in Udupi from one local pandit. He was giving me some Muhurta lessons. And, you know, the worst tithi to start anything is Navami. Navami is by far the worst tithi. And to start life on Navami, it's not an easy thing to tell you. And Prabhupada was born on Navami. And we know his life was not easy. I was also born in Navami. And I can appreciate what it means now. It's not easy. But when people start saying, you know, you're this, you're that, you're so dedicated, this and that, I cannot really relate to all this glorification because I don't feel that I'm doing something special simply because of the reason that I'm happy. I really, you know, when they say, you know, you resisted KGB, so what? You know, I just couldn't do anything else because I became happy. So what else do I need, you know? And I knew if I go the way KGB offered to me, I would not be happy. So really, there was no choice for me. What Prabhupada gave to me personally, and this is, I'm eternally indebted to him, and to all the devotees from ISKCON, he gave me meaning in life, and he gave me happiness, despite of all these difficulties. And all these difficulties, they become insignificant because you're happy, and because, you know the goal. And if you know the goal, and you're happy, you can overcome any difficulty. There was this German philosopher, Friedrich Nietzsche, he said, if you know for what, you can tolerate any how. The meaning of the statement is that if you know for what you're doing, you know, any circumstances you can tolerate. And that's exactly what Prabhupada gave to us. He gave the meaning in life. And without him, the life was empty. It was my life story, my real life story. I was somewhat successful in my undertakings. I was a scientist, and I liked science to a certain extent. And everything was going smoothly. You know, I graduated from school with very good marks. I graduated from the best university in Russia. I went to the first, to the best research institution, was working on the very great scientist. But, you know, the life was becoming more and more meaningless and empty for me. I really couldn't find any meaning. I couldn't understand why, for what, is the ultimate result of all this. And then I met devotees and I started chanting and I lost everything. I lost everything. I really lost everything at that time. At one point of time, I lost practically everything. But, you know, I had everything, and I was not happy. I lost everything, and I was happy. And there is no choice for me, really. You know, I would not go back to the totally useless, empty situation. I became happy. That's a simple kind of answer to this. Therefore, I never could understand when people say, you know, you're this, that. You know, I'm doing this because I'm happy. And that's exactly what Krishna consciousness is all about. And thousands of devotees in Russia are doing this. Not because they're so great, not because this, and not because that, because they become happy, and they become happy because Prabhupada gave the meaning in life to all these lost souls. This is actually the sign of a great acharya. We know that at one point, you know, even Krishna says, dharmasya glanir, that dharma declines. And dharma declines at the point where people lost connection with dharma or lost understanding how dharma can make them happy. And how dharma or religion or, you know, meaningful life can bring happiness and meaning in their lives, basically. You know, and the acharya come, or Krishna himself comes, he says, I'm coming when this phenomenon is taking place, dharmasya glanir, when dharma is going down. So when acharya comes, he explains dharma in such a way that it becomes relevant. Somebody said that, you know, those devotees who didn't know anything about Krishna and Krishna comes to their life, they become really strong. But really what happens through Prabhupada's preaching and teaching, Dharma becomes relevant. So many people are here in India. Recently, I saw some statistical research, statistical poll, results of statistical poll. It is said that around only 30% of Russian people say that religion is relevant in their lives. Whereas in India, 90% of people say religion is relevant in our lives. But again, you know, all these people who say this, 30% in Russia, 90% in India, I really doubt these numbers. Because even 30% in Russia is too big. For most of the people, religion is just a nice idea which has some little relevance in their life, but it doesn't really influence their life so much. They live their separate secular life, and yes, they like to think that religion is good, God is there, you know, we better take care of Him unless something bad is happening to us or whatever, just in case. Just in case He is there, let's take care of Him. But really what Acharya is doing, Acharya makes religion or Dharma extremely relevant. He says this is the most relevant thing. Srimad Bhagavatam says that, you know, that mission of human life is to love God. Srimad Bhagavatam is explaining that Nrideham Sulavam Sudurlabam. Oh, it is said that, you know, that the human life is rare, but it's easily obtained. But, you know, it gives the huge facility to us. It helps us to overcome this ocean of material difficulties. So what Acharya does, what Srila Prabhupada does, he, with his Shakti, again, brings the force which is there in religion into the presence in our lives. He really says that this is the most important thing for you to do. You know, I have to admit to you, confess to you, that my father and my mother were atheists. My grandfather and my grandmother were also atheists, from both sides, from mother's side and from father's side. My grandmother used to go to church, and when I was 5 years old, I used to come to her and say, "You're a totally ignorant person, you're going to this church, God doesn't exist." I said, you know, people are sending these spacecrafts and they don't see God there, you know, in the space. I'm still ashamed when I remember this. You know, I was 6 years old. I was very dedicated atheist at the year of six. You know, I was really atheist. But when Prabhupada came to my life at one point, it became crystal clear to me that without God, life is empty. That without God, life is nothing. Life is really meaningless without God. And that's basically my life story. I was made of Prabhupada's mercy and the mercy of all the Vaishnavas who helped me in my life. I'm grateful to all my disciples. Prabhupada used to tell that actually, when we see our disciples and their dedication, we should see that this is our Guru Maharaj who is coming to our life to teach us. Disciples are really there to teach us how to conduct devotional service. So I'm grateful to Srila Prabhupada, I'm grateful to my Guru Maharaj, and the disciple of His Holiness, Srila Radhanath Swami Maharaj. I am very grateful to Niranjali Swami Maharaj. I consider him to be one of my guru. His amazing heart, pure heart, really, you know, makes me cry when I remember about him. I'm very grateful to Jayapataka Swami Maharaj for his support, for his enthusiasm and for his preaching. I'm grateful to so many devotees, very grateful. I'm grateful to all of you for your dedication, for your kindness. You know, so many people are speaking here and don't know many of these people. And they were still very kind telling this. I'm grateful to my disciples. I'm amazed when I see them. I was really amazed today when I saw what Radhikirti Prabhu did when he built this clinic. To be honest, last year I came here and I didn't believe that he will ever finish it. Because it was such a huge task. I'm very grateful to my good friend Arthur Nikitin. He's actually instrumental. We once came here near Bangalore, and we were staying here near Bangalore, and somehow or other, so many interesting things happens. But again, my main gratitude goes to Srila Prabhupada, because I'm totally convinced that he, being the instrument in Krishna's hands, was sent by Krishna to change lives of so many people. So many people. And the more time will pass, the more clear it will become. The magnitude of Prabhupada. I know there are so many rival movements, you know, little movements here and there, even in Russia, you know, even among Gaudiya Vaishnavas. But I can see that without Prabhupada's mercy, they cannot do much. And Prabhupada's mercy comes to our lives when we sincerely try to repeat what we heard from him, when we sincerely practice what we learned from him, and when we try to help other people to become happy by taking Krishna consciousness. Ultimately, this is the, you know, the Yuga Dharma. Namaruchi, when we're trying to chant the holy name, and Jivadoya, when we're preaching this message to others, and Vaishnava Seva, when we serve Vaishnavas and try to become humble servants, the servants of Srila Prabhupada. And again, I'm very grateful to all of you. It's very unexpected and memorable event in my life. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Jai! Prabhupada ki jai!